And if you would, turn to the book of Matthew chapter 24.
Matthew chapter 24. My text will be verse 46. We'll read that as we get down to that area, but Matthew chapter 24. When I was in my very early days, I would guess around 12, 13 years old. I don't remember exactly, but I do remember that I shoplifted from the local five and dime store. The good thing was I got caught, and the owner saw me pilfer from the counter, and he snagged me as I went out the door. And fortunately for me, he had mercy and compassion, and instead of turning me in or calling my parents, he gave me a job cutting up and breaking down the boxes for 10 cents a piece. I never shoplifted again. Never. Now, I tell you this to let you know that what it is to get caught in the act. I got caught red-handed. Has that ever happened to you? Perhaps in school while the teacher was out of the classroom and you were acting up, and then the teacher came back and surprised you. Or you thought that no one was looking when you went to that website, but you turned around and one of your parents was standing there. You got caught. Years ago, my former pastor, who was very strict about modest dress and not wearing shorts, well, he told from the pulpit that there was a time that he went to the store and he met one of the church members there who was wearing short shorts. And he said that the whole time that he was talking with her, that she was hiding behind the cart the best that she could. And she kept using the cart to shield herself. Now, she got caught. And I'm sure we all have gotten caught a time or two. But hopefully it was while we were doing a good thing and not a bad thing. Well, I mention these in order to introduce my text. The passage speaks of one who surprises his servants in the very act. In one case, the servant is faithful and is doing well. In the other case, the servant is unfaithful and is doing poorly. Both were active in their lives. Both were surprised by the master's return. And both reaped the results of their actions. And through this, I desire that we would recognize that how we live matters. It does make a difference. And one day, the Master indeed will come again. Will He find us doing? What will He find us doing? I want to speak to you a message I've entitled, Caught Red-Handed. Caught Red-Handed. Let's pray. God, thank You for the day and the privilege of being in Your house, those who could be with us, and we ask that You would just bless Your Word as it goes out. Speak to our hearts by Your Spirit. And Lord, You've laid upon my heart to share, and I pray that You would just use it for Your honor and glory. We pray for those that are lost. They might see their need of Jesus Christ. We pray that today might be the day of their salvation. We ask that You would work in them, draw them, save them today. May we who are saved recognize that we need to be found true and we need to be faithful. And Lord, let us be responsible to You, and let us love You. Let us serve You. Let us be true. And we ask now that You would direct Your Word and guide it to our hearts, and we ask it in Jesus' name, amen. I want to think about this matter of being caught red-handed. Our text will be verse 46, but I want to consider the context first. Let's look back and consider what Jesus is speaking about here as He's making these final addresses before He'll be arrested and He will be executed. But in this context, which runs from verse 42 down through verse 51, the end of the chapter, the first thing I point to you is the verse 42 is the expectation. Watch therefore, for you know not what hour your Lord doth come. And so He tells these people, you need to be expecting, you need to be looking, you need to be watching. Why? Because you don't know when He's going to come. Verse 43 gives an example. But know this, that if the goodman of the house had known in what watch the thief would come, he would have watched and would not have suffered his house to be broken up. Well, that's just good sense, isn't it? What an example. He tells him to watch and he says, oh, let me give you an example. If you know somebody's going to break into your home, if you knew that, you'd be there, you'd be ready, and you wouldn't have your stuff stolen from you. So we have that example in verse 43. Verse 44 is an exhortation. Therefore, be ye also ready, for in such an hour as you think not, the Son of Man cometh. So he has this matter of an expectation, the example, and the exhortation, and he gives an explanation. Verse 45 down through the end of the chapter. Who then is a faithful and wise servant, whom his Lord hath made ruler over his household, to give them meat in due season? Blessed is that servant whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing. Verily I say unto you, that he shall make him ruler over all his goods. But, and if that evil servant shall say in his heart, My Lord delayeth his coming, and shall begin to smite his fellow servants, and to eat and drink with the drunken, the Lord of that servant shall come in a day when he looketh not for him, and in an hour that he is not aware of, and shall cut him asunder and appoint him his portion with the hypocrites, and there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. So he gives an explanation to his discussion unto them. Three things come out in my perspective that I want to share with you. One is who they are. Two will be what they do. And three, what they reap. You read verse 45 down through the end of the chapter, you'll find that there are a discussion of two individuals, who they are. You'll find two classes of servants. You'll find the wise and faithful servant, and you'll find the evil servant. These are the two servants that are being spoken of within this explanation. That's who they are. But what do they do? Well, you'll find in the passage, as we read there, that these servants were to respond well, but one, it gives meat in the due season. The faithful servant is responding. He's exactly as he ought to do as a faithful servant. But the evil servant, well, you find him in the text that the cat's away, so the mice is going to play, and so he's going to be smiting the other fellow servants, and he's going to be eating and drinking with the drunken, and the fact is he just not much of a servant, is he? Not a very good, trustworthy fellow. And so we see who they are and what they do, and notice then what they reap. As we read through the passage, we found that the wise and faithful servant was one who is blessed, and he's made a ruler. As we read within the passage, when the Lord come back, he's doing the right things and has been doing the right things. And so he's blessed and reaps the reward of that. But the evil servant, on the other hand, who was a slackard and not doing what he should do and just very corrupt in his life, well, he's cut asunder and punished, the Scripture tells us. Now, the lesson I offer unto you from this entire context simply is this: the Lord is coming back, but you don't know when. Will you be wise and obedient, or foolish and disobedient? That's the context for our verse 46. But having gleaned a little from this passage, I trust, you will notice that my text is contained within the explanation, verse 45 through verse 51. Our text is verse 46. So as we reflect upon the verse in particular, as looking into verse 46, it is necessary that you keep in mind the expectation, verse 42, watch therefore, for you know not what hour your Lord doth come. Keep in mind the expectation, and you must keep in mind the exhortation, verse 44, therefore be also ready, for at such an hour as you think not the Son of Man cometh. Keep those two things in mind as you look into verse 46. This is our text. Verse 46, blessed is that servant whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing. Several things I want to express about this verse. First of all, the characters. As we look into verse 46, we realize that two characters are being mentioned. You'll see that we have the Lord, or the Master, and we have his servant. Now, I understand that in the entire context, we have an unfaithful servant, but we're not talking about that passage right now. We're talking about verse 46. And so when you look into this text, we have his Lord and we have the servant. So two characters are being mentioned within verse 46. So therefore, this verse is in a positive light. It's in a positive approach. This is the wise and the faithful servant. Now, I personally, as I look through this passage, I think that this is an indication of the character of this servant. I think that this servant is a saved person. This is one who knows the Lord, and he's been forgiven of his sin. He is a wise and faithful servant. Now, that's not to say that Christians can't fall away and that Christians can't backslide, or that Christian will always be wise and faithful. I understand we might make an application there, but when I read the context and I read what's going on and I see the contrast with the unfaithful servant, Then I submit unto you this description in verse 46 in the positive light also includes the perspective of the character of the servant. And because of who he is, that's why he does what he does. And so we have a wise servant. And that's the characters. So thinking about these two characters, and we think especially about the servant, I pass on to the next point, and it is the matter of the commandment. So what do you mean, the commandment? Well, if you have a Lord and you have a servant, there's a necessity of commandments. It's just the way it's going to be. There are things the Lord wants done. If you were in the days of the slave trading back 150, 200 years ago, you'd be the master, they'd be the slave, you're the master, you have things that want to be done, they do what you tell them to do. That's just the way it works. Slavery has been in existence in this world almost since the beginning of time, and that's master-slave relationship. There are commandments, things that need to be done. Nowadays, I guess we can make the application of employer-employee relationship, but your employer has the right to tell you what to do. And so you have a responsibility to that. There are things that this Lord wants this servant to do. Responsibility has been given to the servant. That's true of any relationship like that, whether it's an employer or employee, or if it's a master to a slave relationship. The Lord is the one in control. The Lord is the one who has the commands, and he gives those commands to the servant. This always involves duties. Anybody here have a job to where you go and you have no duties? They just simply pay you for being there. If you do, let me know. I'd like to talk to you afterwards. Maybe they're hiring. But the fact is, anytime you go to a place of employment, they have duties, obligations, responsibilities. That's what you're getting paid to do. And so every servant-master relationship has the commandments there, and the rules and the guidelines on which those things are to be accomplished. A servant just can't do whatever he wants. He just can't do, well, I feel like doing it this way. No, you do it the way the master wants it to be done. Same thing true in the employer-employee relationship. You just can't shoot from the hip. You do what the employer wants you to do. And so the very concept of this text about blessed is that servant whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing, and you have this servant-master relationship, the text speaks of activity, and that implies commands. Does that make sense to you? And so we have a Lord and a master, there are commands. The next point is commitment. Commitment. The servant is responsible to the master. The position of a servant demands response. So you have this Lord with commands. You're the servant. What's your responsibility? Whatever you say is what I need to do. That's just logical, isn't it? And so there's a commitment from the behalf of the servant to do that. And so as an employee, if you're not willing to do that, then you need to go get you another job, because you're not going to be a very good employee. But in this Lord and servant relationship here, the Lord has his commands. The servant is committed to do that. It's his responsibility. And it's just simply assumed that the servant will obey the master. That's just the nature of the relationship. Now, what we find in the passage is already a positive perspective. That's what we've already mentioned to you. The faithful and wise will commit to obedience. If you will be a faithful, wise servant, you will commit to obedience. What does the Lord want? That is what I shall do. If you will do that, you are a faithful and wise servant. That's who we see within the passage. So we're not talking about hearers only and not doers. What we have is some people, they're just here, they never do. That's not this guy. As a matter of fact, the other guy, he's doing something too. He's just not doing what the master wants him to do. But a servant is going to respond. That's the nature of the position. So there is a commitment. Yes, you're the Lord. Yes, you have commands. I will commit to that. Next point that I want to bring to you is the we find in the passage is the conduct. You read there in the verse that the servant is so doing. Those last two words of the text. Now that might be a little bit bulky for our modern English, but it really is just an expression of conduct. When the Lord comes back, he finds the guy doing something. He is active. And so the servant is doing. He is responding, isn't he? And I submit unto you that he's not responding just in his simple busy work, but in his master's work. He's just not out piddling around doing whatever he feels like. He is a servant. The master has commands. He's committed to that. And when we read in the passage, he comes back and sees this guy so doing. He is doing, the positive servant is doing what the master wants him to do. He's being responsible. He is obedient. He is not disobedient. And so your employer gives you a task to do, and he leaves, and he comes back, and you're busy doing that task. That's what we find in the passage. You're doing what you're supposed to do. You're being wise, and you're being faithful. And so we have the conduct of this servant. By the way, every one of us have a conduct. And we'll express this a little bit further later on. But the conduct of this servant. Pass on to the next point. Oh, by the way, I overlooked this. I don't want to forget this. This servant, this good, faithful servant, he is a faithful whether he's watched over or whether he's alone. I've worked with way too many people that worked only when the supervisor was there. And when the supervisor was gone, they quit working. I've seen way too, and to be honest with you, in my very early days, I kind of did that on occasion too. What a shame. What a shame. I don't do that anymore. But I'll tell you, you know what? There are some people that don't work until somebody's watching them. Not this guy. The servant is working even though the master's gone. He's so doing. Now I want to go on to the next point, having made that point. The next one is coming. Coming. We read within the passage, "Blessed is that servant whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing." So what we have here is the master is absent, but he is coming again. Now the thing about this is the servant doesn't know when he shall come. And so he could come at any time, just surprise him. Proof of this is you'll back up even outside of our context into verse 36. Jesus has already given some indication of this earlier. In verse 36 it says, "But of that day and hour knoweth no man. Know not the angels of heaven, but my Father only." You do not know when the Lord is coming back again. And, you know, people try to nail it down. They try to pick a day and all this kind of thing. They're wrong to do that because no man knows the day nor the hour. You just don't know when he's coming back again. But we also found within our passage, he is coming. We just don't know when. Verse 42, "Watch therefore, for you do not know what hour your Lord doth come." Verse 44, "Therefore be ye also ready, for in such an hour as you think not, the Son of Man cometh." And so this master is coming back again. And he's going to check up on all of his servants and see what they're doing when he returns. He is coming again, but we just don't know when. And having said that, since no one knows, we shall be caught red-handed. You will be caught in the act. If the Lord should come back today, you're caught in the act. What you're doing in your life, how you've built your life and your day-to-day experience, you get caught in the act. Too late then. If the Lord comes back today, it's finished, isn't it? Can't make up for it. So if you're squandering your life right now, thinking, "Well, the Lord's not coming back for a long time, and I'll just live however I want, eat, drink, and be merry, and on and on and on. And although I'm a Christian, I'll just do whatever I wish and not give any reflection to the Lord's will until it gets closer to His return." If He comes back today, you just messed up. You can't undo that. You don't know when He's coming back. Now, of course, he might not come back until another 100 years, which we'll all be dead. And I don't think any of us will be around. We'll go to the grave. But if he should come back, he could come back today. He'll catch us all red-handed. He'd catch us all in the act. But he is coming again. And I want you to learn that very well. Jesus Christ is coming back again. And he could come today. Now, we look back into the passage one more thing. And we find also the call to account. When he comes back, it says, "When he cometh, shall find so doing." Call to account. When the master comes back, he's checking up on his servants. Accountability. When the Lord comes back again, he will check up on his servants. And my friend, when he comes back, we will be doing or we will not be doing. Simple fact. We will be in obedience or we will be in disobedience. We will be faithful and wise or we will be evil and foolish. But one of these days he's coming back and he's going to call us to account. And we're the servants as we ought to respond to him. Now I want to also remind you when thinking about this accountability that the master expects a return on his investments. You'll find at the latter part of verse 45 where he talks about he puts the servants over his household to give them meat in due season. That is, he's left these people in control. He's leaving the country, and when he comes back, he expects that everything would be status quo while he's gone, and everything will be done the way it's supposed to be done, and there's going to be some harvests, and there's going to be some grain, and there's going to be some fruits, and there are things that they need to produce to him and say, this is what I have. This is what happened while you were gone. And the Lord expects, when he comes back, he expects them to have the meat in their due season. And so when he comes back, we find in our text, he shall find. Now this guy, he finds him so doing. He is being faithful and he is responding well. And I submit unto you, my friend, that the Lord Jesus Christ, he's gone away. When he comes back, he's going to check us out. Find out what we've been doing, how we've been using our time and our money and all that kind of thing. He's going to find out what we've been spending our time with. So we have this text here about calling account, but then notice verse 47, the commendation. And I say verse 47 because verse 46 tells us he's blessed, but verse 47 expresses this blessing a little bit further. Verily I say unto you that he shall make him ruler over all his goods. So here we have within the passage a servant. Now we know there's a contrasting servant later on in the passage, but we have this servant who has this relationship with the master. He's a wise and faithful steward. And while the master's gone, he's doing what he's supposed to do. Now the master comes back at a time that he doesn't know when he's coming back. But he comes back, catches him in the act of what he's doing. And fortunately, he's doing what's right. And so he doesn't have anything to worry about. And so he's responding well and he's blessed. Blessed is that man. He was busy about the master's work. Are you busy about the master's work? If you are, you'll be blessed. Now let me throw this in as a consideration. This is not to say that you spend every waking moment and never go to sleep so that you always have just waking moments. The fact is, you know what? A servant like this can be faithful in all of his duties, doing exactly what the master wants to do, but you know, he still has to eat, he still has to rest, he still has to sleep. And so if the Lord should come back in the middle of the night and you happen to be sleeping, it's not like, oh, well, you should have been awake out there knocking on doors at 3 in the morning. It's not that at all. But you take your life, you take your day-to-day experience, and you say you're a child of God, you say that you're a Christian, and you take all that life. Well, you're going to have to take time to eat, you're going to have to take time to rest, and you're going to get sick on occasion, you can't do what you need to do, and all kinds of things happen. We understand all that. God understands all that. But when you look at your life, what are you doing? What does it consist of? What are your priorities? Are you wise and faithful, or are you being disobedient? Have you already said, well, the Lord's not coming back, I'll just do whatever I wish? That's a very drastic mistake, and you'll see how that impacts at the end. But this is a guy who's blessed. And as a result of him being blessed, he says, I'll make you ruler over my things. You've been trustworthy. Haven't you found that to be true in this life? We have enough sense that if a person, you give a person responsibility and they handle that responsibility, you can give them greater responsibility. But if they mishandle that responsibility and they waste it and squander, you don't give them more responsibility, do you? If you do, you're not very bright. A person will be given responsibility in accordance to how they handle responsibility. And this fellow was faithful. He was blessed. When he came, he was found so doing. And the guy says, I'll make you ruler over all my stuff. That's tremendous, isn't it? And so he who is busy about the master work is the one who is blessed. He who is faithful and wise is blessed. He who is obedient is blessed. If you shall be so doing, you will be blessed. Boy, that's just a simple text, isn't it? Simple passage. Believe it or not, I went through the context. And I've gone through the verse and given you a number of things to think about. Surprisingly, I have a conclusion. You're looking at your watch saying, is he sick today? Oh, my friend, it's a simple message. And I just share it with you today. But I'm not done yet, so I want to offer you a few thoughts in closing. First of all, I'm going to give you a general perspective, and then I'm going to give you a general overview. When you think about what we've talked about, context and text alike, general perspective, three things. It is responsibility, return, and recompense. Let me say them again. Responsibility, return, and recompense. Isn't that what we found in the passage? The servants were given responsibility. The Lord is going to return, and then He's going to hold them accountable for that, and He's going to give back to them what they've done, a recompense. Having reminded you of those points, having reminded you to the extent that you will say, you know what? That's true for me as a Christian. I have a responsibility. The Lord's coming back, and He's going to give recompense. I'll reap it. And if you're lost, you better concern yourself that you still have responsibility and obligation. God hath commanded all men everywhere to repent. You have that responsibility. He is coming back again, and there will be a recompense. If you do not repent and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, you'll be like the unfaithful servant that's listed at the end of the passage, who is cut asunder, and there'll be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Turn, if you would, to Mark 13. Keep a finger in our passage. You can come back, and as I speak of the general overview, you might want to glance down through the verses. But Mark chapter 13, general perspective, responsibility, return, and recompense. Mark 13, verse 33 says, "Take ye heed, watch and pray, for you know not when the time is. For the Son of Man is as a man taking a far journey, who left his house and gave authority to his servants and to every man his work, and commanded the porter to watch. Watch ye therefore, for you know not when the master of the house cometh, at even, or at midnight, or at the cock crowing, or in the morning, lest coming suddenly he find you sleeping. And I say unto you, I say unto all, watch." Watch. Go back to the passage if you want to make reference. Responsibility, return, recompense. General overview of what we've discussed today. Number one, we expect the Lord to come again. So watch. Watch. Number two, preparation is better than absolute surprise. Verse 43 gave the example of the guy whose house is going to be broken into. You'd rather be prepared. So you need to be prepared, my friend, because He is coming again. Preparation is better than absolute surprise. Number three, preparation or being ready consists of doing. If you name the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, your Master has given you commands, obligations, responsibilities, duties that belong to every one of us who are saved. Are you doing? Are you ready? Are you ready? I ask you, what sort of servant are you in your character? I have to ask that because you're either saved or you're lost. In your character, in your heart of hearts. Not talking about a profession, not talking about a church membership. I'm talking about who you are in your character. Are you saved or are you lost? Are you alive in Jesus Christ or dead in trespasses and sins? Is your life consisting of the things of God and the will of God as God moves in your heart by His Holy Spirit? Or is your life consisting of just whatever you desire and what your heart leads you to do and God is not even given a consideration? Who are you? Are you saved today? But I say unto you as a Christian, are you faithful and wise? Or foolish and unwise? As a Christian. As a Christian, are you obedient or disobedient? As a Christian, what if He should come back right now? What if he should come today? Do you know what it says over in 1 John chapter 2, verse 28? John writes and speaks about this. Listen to the verses. I read it to you. He says, "And now, little children, abide in him, that when he shall appear, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming." My friend, if you're saved, when he comes again, you'll go with him. You won't be left behind. Salvation is not a matter of works, but I'll tell you what, there's going to be a whole lot of people that when Jesus Christ comes back, they're going to be ashamed at his coming. They're going to be embarrassed. They're going to be, "Oh God, I wish you wouldn't have come back today." They've wasted their life and they're squandering their opportunities. And as Christians, they know they're not living the way they ought to live, and if Christ should come back, what a shameful thing. I tell you, that ought to speak to our hearts. We know His commands, do we not? And when He comes, we know that we'll be called to account. And as I've said before, we all have a conduct. We all have a conduct. Is your conduct active or inactive? Is it for good or for bad? That evil servant you read at the end of the passage there, my Lord delays his coming, I'll just do whatever I want. So he's beating people and drinking and getting drunk and just not a very good servant. And the Lord comes back and catches him that way. Well, I'll tell you, what if the Lord comes back and catches you watching that program? What if he comes back and sees the website you're on, or what you're reading, or what you're listening to, or the people you're with? Serious business, isn't it? I know it's somber and I know it's kind of harsh, but the fact of the matter is the Lord's gone away. He's coming back again. He's going to give recompense. So I ask you, are you ready? Are you watching? One day, you may be caught red-handed. If the Lord comes back in our lifetime, we'll be caught red-handed. Because that's it. He'll come while we're doing. What are you doing? What are you doing? There's a song we used to sing up north that is not in our songbooks. But I have it before me. And I'm not going to sing it, but I'm going to give you the words. The title is, "Will Jesus Find Us Watching?" The verse says, "When Jesus comes to reward His servants, whether it be noon or night, faithful to Him will He find us watching with our lamps all trending bright. If at the dawn of the early morning He shall call us one by one, when to the Lord we restore our talents, will He answer thee, 'Well done.' Blessed are those whom the Lord finds watching. In His glory they shall share. If He shall come at dawn or midnight, will He find us watching there?" The chorus says, "Oh, can we say we are ready, brother, ready for the soul's bright home? Say, will He find you and me still watching, waiting, waiting when the Lord shall come?" Let's stand. Brother Paul, would you please come? I want to invite you to turn to number 239. Let's stand. Father in heaven, we commit this time to you today, and I ask that you would just remind us that you're coming back again, and remind us we have a responsibility, and remind us that we will give an account. And Lord, for those of us who are saved, let us be found true, let us be wise, let us be obedient. Let us love you and serve you. And we can only do that by your grace, so bestow your grace upon us. We pray for those that are lost, that they might be saved today. Lord, speak to their hearts. Help them to know there is responsibility before you, because you're God and there is none other. They will give an account to you and they will stand in judgment. And so, Lord, help them to recognize that they need to respond. They need to repent and believe while there's opportunity. Oh God, move in their hearts that they might be saved. We just commit this time to you today. Cause us to be watching. Cause us to be ready that we might be found true. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. 239.